Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 10 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17. I'll read even-numbered verses, and I'd like to have you read along with me on the odd-numbered verses. Let's stand together as we read. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. And let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning for your blessing upon our service today. Lord, we pray that you'd use this portion of scripture to speak to our heart, that your Holy Spirit would work among us today, be with Pastor as he preaches this morning. And Lord, we do pray if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, they might come to know you today. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. And you can be seated.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find a solace there.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate that. I don't know if I would be as daring to put a capo up high on a guitar. I don't think I could make it sound good, but he made it sound really good. I appreciate that. And you know what, Terry? Nobody, there wasn't, I didn't get with Heidi and ask her to play Sweet By and By for the offertory. And Ben singing What a Friend. And you know, God just has a way of just melting everything together for the needs of our lives, doesn't he? Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. I'm going to preach to Kristen this morning. No, not really. I'm not really. I'm preaching to everybody, but certainly there's application there, if she'll take it. But to everybody preaching this morning, 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. And I'd like to read again verses 10 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax or grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's a power-packed passage of Scripture, is it not? We did an entire session in our adult Sunday school on how we got the Bible. And that word inspiration in verse 16 is the idea. Takes two Greek words, put them together, God-breathed. God-breathed. We have the God-breathed Bible. God breathed it through men to men. And we have what God said. That's a wonderful verse. And notice in verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. God's word is profitable. There's a lot of no count, no meaning things in the world, but God's word is always profitable. And we see several things for which it's profitable there. But I'm not preaching on that specific verse. I'm looking at a broader context of what the Apostle Paul here is giving by way of encouragement and instruction to young Timothy the preacher. I went back and looked in my computer, and last year I had preached from chapter 1 in this same book. It's amazing the Lord has, you know, the Bible is like the doctor's bag for a preacher. You know what? There's prescriptions for a lot of different things in life, and that's what we just opened up the prescription bag for the need of the hour, and that's what we're doing this morning. And with the thought that we're going to be looking at, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, great books for them. We've been teaching or preaching on Sunday morning on the verse, 1 Corinthians 4:2, that says, moreover, it is required in stewards, what? That a man be found faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards, those unto whom a responsibility has been given, with something that belongs to someone else. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God has given us responsibility. It's what he had that he gave to us, and we are stewards with what he has given us. And the major requirement is not necessarily productivity. That's God's department. The major requirement is that a man be found, discovered, as he's looked upon, as people come upon him, as God looks upon him, that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Everyone who has come to know the Lord should have faithfulness to God as a major goal in life. You know, we often hear my goal is to glorify God, and well, it should be, but the way to glorify God is in the pathway to faithfulness. God will be glorified by our faithfulness. The major goal of a Christian ought to be, I want to be found, discovered, when I stand before the Lord, as I stand before others year after year, I want to be found faithful. People will be influenced by our faithfulness. God will be glorified by our faithfulness. We'll experience countless blessings by being faithful. And rewards come in life as well as in eternity for faithful people. God requires faithfulness. And faithfulness brings with it so many positive residual effects and results that you can't even begin to imagine until you find yourself reaping the results of faithfulness. Having preached about faithfulness almost every Sunday morning this year, I trust that with the folks here, that faithfulness is becoming your goal more and more. When God opens up the curtain of your life and looks, I hope you want him to find faithfulness. So then the question, how do I get there? How do I get to faithfulness? So this morning I want to speak on a guide to faithfulness. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to open your word. We're so thankful that you've given us the Bible. We don't have to wonder what you think. You have penned it through men to men that we might know your mind, that we might know you and what you have for us today and what you have planned for eternity. We thank you for the Bible. And then, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation that you've given to us in and through the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as ones who have come to know Jesus as our Savior, we realize that we've been given a tremendous responsibility in this life by you, and we need to be faithful. So this morning, I pray that you'd help us as we look at this guide to faithfulness, that we might embrace these thoughts and that truly each of us would be found faithful in the days, years, and even in eternity to come. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. A guide to faithfulness. A guide to faithfulness. You know, it's hard to go through life without some type of guide, is it not? My mother-in-law years ago was going to drive from her home just south of Utica, New York, to visit my family, my parents, out in Albany, New York. And to get there, she needed to go north 8 miles on Route 8 and turn east on Route 20, and it would take her to Albany and then North Colony, Latham area. And she headed north out of her driveway in West Edmundston, New York, and when she got to Route 20, she turned left, west. And she drove, and my mother-in-law was funny because she would twiddle on the steering wheel as she drove, you know, like this all the time, as she drove. And she drove about 20, 30 miles and came to a town called Skinny Atlas. The name itself is bad enough, right? But she came to Skinny Atlas and she asked, I believe it was a police officer, she asked, I'm trying to get to Albany. Where are you coming from? From Bridgewater. You're going the wrong way, ma'am. You need to turn around and go east about now, 75 miles or so. And so, of course, I never would let her live that down, amen, being the kind, loving son-in-law that I was. But you know, directions are pretty important. You take the wrong directions, you end up in the wrong place. And I'm not one to necessarily like complicated directions. I like don't ever ask certain people how to get somewhere. They say, you know, go over here and up there and down there and turn right there and this. Just tell me right at the stop sign, left, whatever. Make it simple, right? Simple minds, simply entertained. Make it simple. Today, in speaking on A Guide to Faithfulness, I want to try to make it simple. How are you going to become faithful? How are you going to become faithful? In this passage of Scripture, Paul preaching, teaching Timothy things to teach us, he gives him some guidance here on what will make him be faithful. And the first thing he mentions is that he has to continue, to continue. Look at verse 14, if you would. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue. The word continue means to remain or to abide, to stay, dwell, to endure. Has reference to place, stay where you are. It's a good thing to consider. You want to be faithful, stay where you are. In reference to things that you've been taught, stay where you are with what you've learned from the Bible. Stay in the Bible teaching church that is seeking to promote the Word of God. Point people to Jesus Christ. There's enough religion. We need people to come to know Christ as Savior. Continue. Continue in the place that has faithfully presented the truth of God's Word to you. We live in a society that's always looking for something different, something new. But faithfulness comes as a result of continuing. Holding the line. Staying there. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. It has reference to place, has reference, the word continue, to time. To continue to be what you have learned is right to be in this time, according to the Word of God. It's amazing how society changes with the current philosophies that are promoted, the current religious philosophies that are promoted. But the admonition here to Timothy was, you continue in the things that you have learned. Be what you've learned is right. Don't think that you or others can invent a new spiritual wheel to ride. Continues in reference to place, in reference to time, but it's also in reference to the state or condition of a person. Remain the same. Continue. Don't change. Now, of course, we know that we're to change as we grow in grace, become more conformed to the image of Christ, or be transformed, metamorphosis, changed from within as the Lord changes us, makes us more like Him. But He's talking about the things that you've learned from the Word of God, the things you've been assured of. You stay, it remain the same, hold to them, don't change. Continue in the things which thou hast learned. I've often likened it to it, and you've heard it even recently, the relay race. In the relay race, they pass on a baton from one racer to the next, and they don't stop, inspect the baton, change it and tweak it to their liking. They take the same baton that the first guy ran, and they pass it, hopefully successfully, to the second person, and that person runs that race with that same baton, and then they pass it to the next person, and that person doesn't stop and color the baton. They take the same baton, and they run with it. And then the third person, and then the fourth person, and usually the fastest person on the fourth watch, and they take that same baton, and they run. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Listen, we've learned things from the Word of God. It's the baton that's passed to us. Continue in it. Stay the same according to the Word of God. And notice the phrase there, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. And the word assured of there, to be made faithful. to render trustworthy. Continue the things that have been rendered faithful. They're trustworthy things. You know, it's interesting how our society has thrown question marks concerning everything about what we believed growing up. And even that our country was founded on Christian principles. There's all kinds of question marks about that from some people today. Well, folks, it was just, you heard it from me. Amen. Our country was founded on Christian principles. Doesn't mean everybody in our nation's founding was a Christian, but it was founded on Christian principles. Amen. And that, by the way, that was on the Bible. The things that you've been assured of are things that are rendered trustworthy, firm, established, things of which you're fully persuaded. The Word of God. People want to change for the sake of change, but change for the sake of change is not necessarily good, certainly not in genetics. In Proverbs 24, verse 21, the Bible says, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change." So if we're going to be faithful, we need to continue. Hold on to the same things. The first step to faithfulness being guided in our lives is to continue. Look for God to make you more like Christ, and you'll become faithful. Continue. The next word that I think is important, and that's for us to consider. To continue in what we've learned, but then to consider. Look at verse number 14 again. "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Read that phrase with me there, the last one, starting with the word knowing. Ready? "Knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, I'm happy for people that might listen to our messages on the internet. It's terrible they can't see my face, but let's keep it that way, right? And maybe, Jason, if you put the screen down, it'd be helpful. But you know something? What I say might be helpful if it points them to the Word of God, but they don't know me. There's something very, very important in the transfer of truth when it comes to knowing the people from whom it comes. And the Apostle Paul writing here, he says, "You continue in the things you've learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them," or considering those from whom you have learned. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The second of the guiding points to faithfulness is to know or take into consideration who it is that taught you what you've learned. Mom and dad. The word "to know" means to see or to perceive with the eyes, to perceive by any of the senses, to discern, to discover. I grew up watching my mom and dad, not from the standpoint of omniscience and observing them from my point of omniscience. I grew up watching them as a child and learning from them. And as an adult, I looked back with amazement as to how consistent they were. And the things that they presented to me early in my life had greater weight of credibility because of the consistency of their character. Consider those from whom you've learned. Notice verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul mentions some of the things about him, of which Timothy was aware. Verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came into me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I," what? "Endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." The Apostle Paul to Timothy says, listen, know those from whom you've learned. He says, and he had already related what he had experienced, of which Timothy was aware, the different things that Paul had experienced, just to convey the truth of God to others. The life experience observed by the Apostle Paul and his faithfulness through them were to be considered as a guiding point toward faithfulness. You consider these things. As we think of people in our lives, people with the purest of motives have taught us as well. Not people with perfect lives, but people with the purest motives. People with the most visible access to credit or discredit their teachings. You know, when you live in a home with mom and dad, you pretty much see and hear everything, right? Little kids will tell you. Consider the parents who, out of love, have given sound directions for life. My dad was not very bright when I was in my teens. I have to admit it. Something was going wrong with him. And then when I turned 19 and 20, my dad started getting smarter. And I wish I could tap into some of his wisdom now. Parents who out of love give sound life directions, considering them. Local pastors who have no other agenda or motivation than to preach the truth of God for the benefit of those who are placed under his care. By the way, Bible preaching pastors are all about that. Amen. Sunday school teachers and children's workers and youth workers who have given of their time and hence their life. Time is your life. Sunday school teachers and children's workers and youth workers who have given of their time to hold up the guiding light of the Word of God to shine a clear path for faithfulness need to be in the consideration. I'll bet most of you can remember a Sunday school teacher along the pathway that just either just their character or maybe something specific that they told you stands out in your mind and has always been there. Kind of as a reference point. Consider that these are divinely delegated authorities that were placed into your life, and the Word of God says to continue in what those whose character you could actively consider have taught you. Consider them, their love, their sacrifice, their knowledge, their experience, and their words. Continue, consider, and then connect. Connect. And that from a child thou hast known, verse 15, the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Make the connection. Connect it. There is no simple process for a parent to rear a child through adolescence and send them out the door and they go forward as a programmed robot with everything the parents told them. Doesn't happen that way. Every child goes through life, and we spend our lives weighing and deciding and weighing and deciding and acting. The Bible likens children to the arrows in a quiver, and arrows are sharpened and straight so that they can be launched to accomplish a purpose. And that's what people who have been placed in our lives were. They were sharpening us as arrows and straightening us in our lives so that we could be launched against the enemies in the gate, so to speak. Well, what has to happen is that each person has to come to the point where they connect the truths that they've learned, considering the people from whom they've learned them, and they have to connect it to themselves. This is what I need to follow in my life. I remember that connection process in my life as it began, and it's still working. Amen? And I remember the weighing and looking at different things and life pathways and words that were spoken. Is this truth or is this truth? And what's the word of God? I remember weighing the people in my lives. And I've told you before, I can remember seeing the picture of my mom and dad in my mind and how that they were true and they were consistent and they were faithful in what they presented was not just what they said, but what God said. And I made a connection. Amen. Thank God. So I encourage everybody here, if you want to become faithful now, after continuing in what you should and considering from whom you've learned, now connect in your life. Connect to the Word of God. I mean, just attach yourself to it. The Bible is the only solid foundation for a life of faithfulness. People talk a lot about making the Bible relevant in our day. Have you heard the phrase? And I've used it. The more I thought about it, it's kind of not a good statement. I want to make the Bible relevant. That's a problem. By trying to make the Bible relevant, we tend to look at the Bible as a buffet, choosing things we feel would coincide with our lives today. Connecting our lives to the Bible means instead relating our lives to its truth. There's a difference. How do we make the Bible relative? Well, we need to make our lives related to the Word. There's a difference. We don't need to make the Bible more relevant. We need to make our lives relate to the Bible. The Bible needs to be the constant reference point to which we always align ourselves. It doesn't matter to me if you disagree with me. Well, it does. You should agree. No, it doesn't matter to me if someone disagrees with me. But it does matter from which they get their point of disagreement. This is the reference point. Right here. The Word of God is the Bible, and it's the reference point we need. You know, I've told this before, but it certainly relates. Years ago, I was having some concrete poured at our house. Brother Randy Bajani had a friend that worked with him that came over, and his family did concrete work. And anyway, in talking to the person, he wasn't an avid believer in the things of God. I'll just say that. And he helped me. We laid out the whatever you do, the forms for the concrete. You can see I'm well versed on it. And we laid out the forms for the concrete. And he said, "Now we got to make sure it's square." And he taught me the 3-4-5 rule. It's an awesome rule. I don't know 6 or what comes after, but I don't know 1, but 3-2-3-4-5. Can I count? Yes, 3-4-5. Anyway, the 3-4-5 rule is simple. You have your point. If you want to make something square, you go 3 this way. 1, 2, 3. I've got to leave myself room. Back to the point, and you go 4 this way. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then 5. If it's square, you can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you have square. Amen? Everybody's going to go home and try that today, right? I can see it on the sand. But anyway. And you have to, if that reference point moves, so you're out of square. You keep that same reference point, and you're true in being square, having the right angle. And you know, as we talked over supper, me trying to talk to someone who didn't believe the Bible, I said, you know what? I said, if someone doesn't believe the Bible, it's kind of like they don't have any reference point for the 3-4-5 rule, do they? Just their own thoughts of their mind. Listen to me. If we're going to become faithful, the Bible has to be that point from which we square up our lives. Always. The Bible's a reference point. How many of you guys like the Christmas presents where you have to open the box and put together a cabinet? Ladies, take note of that. You know what to buy them for Christmas. Yeah, because what we do is we open up the box, we take out the shelves, and we put them together. And something's not working. And then we decide to read the directions. Right? How many men would be guilty of that? Okay, I'm the only sinner. All right, thank you. Well, the directions that come with a cabinet called your life need to be read and followed as you're putting it together. That's found in the Word of God. Don't wait to the end and everything's all messed up and you're found in unfaithfulness and saying, oh my goodness, if I'd have just followed that, I'd be different. Follow it now. Continue. Connect to the Word. Connect it a couple areas quickly. First, we need to connect it as it pertains to salvation. Connect with salvation. When I was 19 years of age, I realized that I personally was not saved. I was on my way to hell. I realized that. I'd been religious. I could quote scripture. I'd been taught. I could sing songs. I knew songs. I can quote songs today that I learned as a kid. Quote scriptures I learned as a kid. But when I was 19 years of age, I realized I wasn't saved. And if you notice in verse number 15 of our passage, we see the passage where, let me turn there real quick, back to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. When you connect to the Word of God, the most important thing that you'll ever connect with, and you really need to connect with it one time, and when you do, it lasts forever. It's connect with the Word of God concerning salvation. If one has learned religion but has not come to a personal knowledge of salvation, there can be no faithfulness to Christ. Worse than that, if one has learned religion but not come to a saving knowledge of Christ, they'll not go to heaven. Heaven doesn't come as a result of religious action. Going to heaven comes as a result of a person connecting with the truth in Scripture about salvation, coming to know Jesus Christ as one's personal Savior. I believe the reason many people turn from the truth of their spiritual upbringing is that they've never been genuinely saved. I had no problem living wrongly, even knowing what was right, until I realized I needed to be saved. And once I put my faith in Jesus Christ, then I had a problem with living wrongly. Underneath faithfulness is faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as one's personal Savior. Connect with salvation. But secondly, connect with instruction. After you're saved, connect with instruction from the Bible. Verse 16, again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Connect with the Bible concerning, in your own life, concerning its instruction. The moral guidelines in the Bible are as relevant today as they were when first given to mankind. Connect to them, and you'll be faithful. People have not changed. Do you know that? Maybe we've gotten a little dumber, but people have not changed. The sinful nature, prone to follow sinful pathways, is the same today as it was after Eve fell and Adam fell in the garden. The popular living of the day is not the standard by which to pattern our lives. Let God's word be our constant instructor. Connect with it. Let it instruct you. And here's my line for Kristen. Now it includes her. When young people graduate from high school, they tend to feel relieved from instruction. Like the kid that said, I'm leaving home and I'm going to join the Marine Corps. I'm tired of people telling me what to do. Oh, yeah? Good luck with that, right, Rich? We're going to follow instructions of something or someone all of our lives. Connect with the instruction of the Word of God. Make the wisdom of God that which you follow. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, hunkered down, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I think we could say that's faithful. Connect with instruction. And then thirdly here, connect with correction. Look at verse 16 again. All scripture is given by God and is profitable for doctrine. That's our teaching, our instruction. For reproof, for correction. One of the most important things is learn to connect yourself to the correction that comes from the Word of God and others. I said connect to it. Proverbs 6:23 says, the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Connect your life to the rebukes and corrective instructions that come your way as a guide to faithfulness. People today are being taught how wonderful everything they do is. And they're crushed when they get corrected. Sorry. God gives faithfulness awards, not participation awards. If you want to become faithful, swallow your pride, take some corrective criticisms, and yield to the corrective instructions that you're given from the Word of God and through others placed in your life as spiritual leaders. Connect to it. You know what? I need that. I'll follow it. Because I have a goal of faithfulness. And then connect the Word of God and what you've taught from others that you've considered as you continue in the truth. Connect with relationships. Connect with relationships. Connect what you have learned from the Word of God with the relationships that you have. Notice in verse 16 or verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In the setting here, Paul is saying to Timothy, you know, listen, you continue in what you've been taught, consider who you learned it from, and you take these things and now connect them to other people as it relates to other relationships. Connect the Word of God to them and connect with them as they're connected with the Word. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, equipped to deal with others regarding the Word of God. As an application, govern your relationships by how others stand in relation to the Word. And I can't overemphasize the importance. To become faithful, we need to connect with people in relationships that are connected with the same truths we are. So important. So important. Govern our relationships by how others stand in relation to the Word. Now, of course, we want to use the Word to bring them to what we've come to trust. But govern our relationships. Connect the Word of God and its principles with our relationships. Do they need to be saved? Show them how to be saved. My nephew is pastor of a fairly large church in upstate New York. You know where he met his wife? She was an unsaved girl working with him at McDonald's when he was going through college. And he liked her. You know what I mean? And he shared the gospel with her, and she got saved. And she became his wife. And now she's a pastor's wife and has been for many years. Amen? But their connection came in their relationship because both were connected to the Word of God. So important. Do they need to get in church? Help them get in church. Connect in that. Do they need to change their manner of living? Well, don't hope that'll happen. Make sure that as you connect in relationships, they are going God's direction. Connect the Word of God to all the relationships that you have. If they don't stand with you with the Word, then don't stand with them away from the Word. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. A guide to faithfulness. Simple. Continue. Connect or consider and connect. If we continue in the truth we've learned, consider or keep in mind those whom God has used to teach us and connect ourselves to the Word and its principles, we will be guided into faithfulness. Then we'll hear the commendation, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The things I've shared with you will make all the difference in the world, everybody. All the difference in your world, in your life today. And throughout all the changes of life that you'll experience, continue, consider, connect. Each person needs to understand, first and foremost, the need to be saved, though. We're all sinners. We stand condemned before a holy God because of sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The condemnation we face for sin, each one of us would be eternal judgment in a place the Bible calls hell. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast, the Bible says, into the lake of fire. But God sent Jesus into the world to take the judgment for my sin and for your sin. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because, and only because Jesus took the punishment of our sins, God offers each of us forgiveness and eternal life through what Jesus did. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no way that, humanly speaking, I could put the weight of importance on this. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God offers a gift bought and paid for by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, free to us when we turn from sin in our hearts to the Lord and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe Jesus died and rose for me. Come into my heart and save me. Give me that gift of eternal life you paid for. Forgive me of my sins. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus said, I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Religion doesn't save. Connect your life to salvation through Jesus Christ. Learn to be faithful today, but connecting your life to Jesus Christ and salvation gives his guarantee of eternity in heaven. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the guide to faithfulness found in your word and so many other places we could draw it out as well. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd take these thoughts, and I think of young people, and a life in front of them, a life of unknowns right now, but a lot of things that will be far better in life if they follow the guide to faithfulness. Lord, I think of all of us here this morning that we need to be reminded how we need to continue. No turning back. We need to consider the lives of those who've taught us and look at their character and understand their character gives credibility to the message. take the message and apply it in our lives, connecting ourselves with your word. Help us to do that. That you might be honored and glorified through our faithfulness. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning before we sing our closing song, I wonder if there's anybody, no one else is looking, but just for my own sake, I wonder if there's anybody here today who'd say, "Preacher, I'm not 100% sure in my heart that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to come to know that. Would you pray for me? I won't mention your name out loud. I won't come to you. But if you just like me quietly, no one else is looking, just quietly lift up your hand and I'll pray in private for you personally that you can get that settled." If you're here this morning, you're not 100% sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven, but you'd like to have that assurance in your heart. Would you just slip up your hand quickly? Anybody? Anybody? Not sure. How many would say this morning by an uplifted hand, "Pastor, by the grace of God, I want my life to glorify God, and I'm going to, by His strength and help, I'm going to follow this guide to faithfulness." Would you just slip up your hand, please? Amen. All over. Thank you so much. In just a minute, we're going to sing a closing song. We call it an invitation. As we sing, maybe there's something that you need to pray about. You're welcome to come down to the front and just pray quietly and slip back to your seat. There's something that you need me to pray with you about. I'll stand right down in the front. You grab my hand and say, "Preacher, something bothered me. I'd really like to pray with you about it." And I'll do that right then and there. If you're not sure that you're saved on your way to heaven, we'll have someone take the Bible and just momentarily take you aside in a private room here and help you get that settled about your eternity. If God's speaking to your heart, whether it's just to pray and about your own life or someone else, or something in your own life that needs help with, when we stand and sing, you slip out from your seat, come down the aisle to the front, take care of business with God, and slip back quietly to your seat. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation time. As we sing, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 366, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." Have thine own way.
Connect it is have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. I yield connect my life to your word, to you. Glad you're here this morning. Amen. Thanks for coming, being a part of our service. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love and mercy. Thank you for the word of God that you've given to us. And Lord, help us as we go here to contemplate the things that we've considered in the preaching of the word this morning. And Lord, continue to work in our hearts. Lord, I didn't get saved the first time I heard it, but you worked in my heart and showed me the need that I had to be born again. Thank you that you did. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's not saved, that the Holy Spirit would just take the word and use it in their lives. And then Lord, help us to take these truths and connect them in our lives that we might be found faithful. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And you're dismissed.